From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Lessons from the Birth of Samson, part of this series in the book of Judges. The circumstances of the angelic announcement of the birth of Samson provide valuable spiritual lessons. The first is God's mercy to people that deserve nothing but judgment. Then in the angel's instructions to Samson's parents that the child was to be raised Nazarite, we see the sanctity of the service of God. We've seen the beauty of the faith of Manoah, Samson's father, who accepted God's promise and made it the basis of his prayer. The passage lays great emphasis upon the duty of parents to raise their children for God. We've seen a revelation of the truth of the glory of Christ exhibited in the angel of the Lord who brought God's message to Manoah and his wife. Manoah offered a burnt sacrifice to the Lord, pointing us to the security of God's people in the sacrifice of Christ. Finally, the account underscores the dependability of God's promises, for Samson was born according to the Lord's word. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude Lessons from the Birth of Samson. Before he comes, please enjoy this selection from C.H. Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Today's text is Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12. They did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Israel's weary wanderings were all over, and the promised rest was attained. No more moving tents, fiery serpents, fierce Amalekites, and howling wildernesses. They came to the land which flowed with milk and honey, and they ate of the old corn of the land. Perhaps this year, beloved Christian, this may be thy case or mine. Joyful is the prospect, and if faith be an active exercise, it will yield unalloyed delight. To be with Jesus in the rest which remaineth for the people of God is a cheering hope indeed, and to expect this glory so soon is a double bliss. Unbelief shudders at the Jordan which still rolls between us and the goodly land, but let us rest assured that we have already experienced more ills than death at its worst can cause us. Let us banish every fearful thought, and rejoice with exceeding great joy in the prospect that this year we shall begin to be forever with the Lord. A part of the host will this year tarry on earth, to do service for their Lord. If this should fall to our lot, there is no reason why the New Year's text should not still be true. We who have believed do enter into rest. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. He gives us glory begun below. In heaven they are secure, and so are we preserved in Christ Jesus. There they triumph over their enemies, and we have victories too. Celestial spirits enjoy communion with their Lord, and this is not denied to us. They rest in His love, and we have perfect peace in Him. They hymn His praise, and it is our privilege to bless Him too. We will this year gather celestial fruits on earthly ground, where faith and hope have made the desert like the garden of the Lord. Man did eat angels' food of old, and why not now? Oh, for grace to feed on Jesus, and so to eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan this year.
Leads me, I will go. Faithful, I will.
the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
Thank you. never lose sight of this. The chief purpose of God giving children is that they may serve and glorify Him. Christian parents should take those children and give them to the Savior. Realize they are given that they may glorify Christ. And if you fail to raise them to live for Christ, you'll fail totally. They may make it big in business. They may be highly thought of by the world. But if they go to hell, that's the ultimate failure. Never lose sight in your home. This is the duty of parents. Never lose sight of the ultimate aim, which is that every child God gives you should be the instrument of His praise and His glory. The fifth lesson is the lesson of the glory, or the truth of the glory of Christ. Really, I should have brought this first, because this is the whole message. This and the next, the whole message. Verse 18. The angel of the Lord, actually, you know the phrase, the angel of the Lord, I think it's properly translated the angel of the Lord. But as to the form of words, in and of themselves, the words could equally well be reproduced as the angel Jehovah. That's why in these Old Testament appearances of the angel of Jehovah, you have a representation of Christ. The angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Now, this is what he says. Why askest thou thus after my name? But he goes on to give it. For he says, seeing it is secret. The word secret, actually, is a very important word. It is used in Isaiah 9, verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. That is the word that's used. He says, my name is Wonderful. The prophet Isaiah says this is the proper name of Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. When you look at this wonderful picture of Christ, you have Him in all His mediatorial offices. You have Him as the prophet, for He is the angel, the messenger, who came with the message of deliverance. You have Him as the priest, because it is said here that He did wondrously at the altar. Isn't that a lovely text concerning Christ? Christ our priest. He did wondrously, and it's the same root word again as the word secret or wonderful. He did wondrously at the altar. You think of the cross of Christ. You think of Christ our priest. When you see Him take the load of a world's sin upon His shoulders, when you see Him bare His breast to the sword of Jehovah's justice, when you see Him confront every power and hound of hell seeking His and our destruction, and you see Him come through it triumphantly, can you not say, in the satisfaction of divine justice, in the expiation of human guilt, in the defeat of every satanic purpose, He did wondrously. Man, when He shed His blood, He did a wonderful thing. He's our prophet, the angel with the message of deliverance. He's our priest who wrought wondrously at the altar. And He's our King. For notice this, He ascended in the flame of the altar. I think that's one of the loveliest pictures that you'll get in the Word of God. Christ carried to heaven in the merits of His sacrifice. Hebrews 9 and verse 12 tells us that He entered heaven by or with his own blood. We learn here the glory of Christ. When you're reading the Bible, always have an eye and a heart searching for the glory of Christ. And then in verse 23, the sixth great truth and lesson, the security of the saints. This is one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, or indeed the whole Bible. Manoah's faith was good, but his theology wasn't particularly well instructed. He said, "We have seen God, therefore we're going to die." Now, don't think that he was jumping to conclusions. The Lord said, "No man can see me and live." When he showed just a little of his glory to Moses, he had to hide him in the cleft of the rock, lest Moses be consumed. So having seen Jehovah in the form of the angel, a pre-incarnation appearance of the Son of God, Manoah's heart sank and he said, "We must surely die." Now here is the answer that his wife gives. Underline it. Never forget this wonderful statement. "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands." That is glorious theology. If God has received our sacrifice, he cannot condemn our souls. That's the theology there. Now then, lift it right up to its final fulfillment in Christ. God hath received our sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb, slain for us on Calvary's cross, has shed his blood, and it has been accepted. And therefore, God cannot condemn us. If Christ is my sacrifice, then my soul is safe. You remember those words that were read here when Dave Mook preached last morning, the Lord's Day morning before last, 2 weeks ago from today. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth?" Is there anybody can condemn a Christian? Here's the answer. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, and who also maketh intercession for us. I've always referred to that verse as the four great pillars of the gospel. Who can condemn a Christian when God has accepted the blood of Christ on our behalf? Oh, let us learn that theology tonight. That would be an end of the whole argument about eternal security. If God condemns your soul, Christ is not your sacrifice. But if Christ is your sacrifice, your soul is secure forever. And the final great truth and lesson, verse 24 and 25, is the dependability of God's promise. The woman bare a son. The Lord had come to this woman. We're not told how long she had been married. We're not told how many years they had gone without a family. But the Lord had come and said, "You'll bear a son." And he fulfilled his word. The dependability of God's promise. Let me leave with you two great scriptures. You remember Elizabeth said of Mary in Luke 1:45, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord." Blessed is everyone who believes God's promise. Are you believing God's promise for your soul's salvation? There will be a performance of the things that the Lord has said. Are you believing God's promise for your service as he guides you into his will, then there will be a performance of all that God has promised. Though it wait, though it tarry, wait for it. For it shall come, and it shall not tarry. When God's appointed time comes, he'll fulfill his word. I remember the words of King Solomon at the dedication of the temple. He says, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. When you reach the end of this life, you stand finally in the presence of the Lord, you'll be able to say amen. There has not failed one word of God's promise. Be encouraged. Take your stand upon the Word of God and upon the God of the Word. Don't, as a Christian, sell out the opportunity to do the will of God and the service of God through fear or unbelief. Don't turn away from the hard path of Christian duty, unwilling to pay the price of Christian service for the soft bed of worldly ease. Because I tell you, the Lord's promise is better than a cashier's check. Mr. Spurgeon called his book on the promises of God the checkbook of the bank of faith. You take a promise and you present it, and God will honor it. You'll never feel one word of it. May God encourage us, therefore, in the light of all these lessons, to be willing to follow our Savior, to do his will, and to pursue his service. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word. We do bless thee and praise thee for the glory of Christ and for the security of the saints of God in Christ. We thank thee that he did wondrously at the altar. We thank thee that he is wonderful in his person, wonderful in his sacrifice, wonderful in his resurrection, wonderful in his intercession, wonderful in his grace, in his long-suffering, wonderful in the fullness of his provision, wonderful in his coming again in glory. Lord, we thank thee that he is wonderful. We bless thee for all that he hath wrought for us. Lord, we pray, give us grace to stand by faith in the enjoyment of the security we have in him. And, O Lord, we pray, give us grace also by faith to stand separate unto the holy in the service of the Lord Jesus. And, O God, we pray, whether it be in the public realm or whether it be in the home dealing with the children thou hast given in each home, Lord, whatever our service be, give us grace to do it gladly as unto Christ in the full assurance that there is a blessing to all who believe, for there shall be a performance of those things that the Lord has spoken. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, both tonight and until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.